We're set.
All right, we're going to go and get started. So, fresh piece of paper. Piece of paper out. Little heads up. Tonight's homework, and I think tomorrow night's homework, both come out of marriage test. So we're back at some developmental stuff for a little bit. So that's why it starts with an M. So you'll be looking in the marriage check file for that, okay? So we are going to be doing in the next hour and 20 minutes what would take 3 lectures in elementary algebra. If you went 2 layers back, this would take 3 days to get through this topic. It's all about solving systems of linear equations. I don't expect that you know what that means, but we're going to talk about it right now. So if we're going to be talking about this, we better know what a system of linear equations is. So number one, a system of linear equations for right now is going to be 2 equations, 2 unknowns, like x and y, 2 unknowns, 1 common solution. And even that might not mean anything to you yet, but we're going to just start by what is the definition of a system of linear equations. It's going to be 2 equations with 2 unknowns with 1 common solution. So when you solve something like that, visually, 3 things can happen. So visually, 3 things can happen. So draw yourself a set of axes. And on that set of axes, I would like you to draw 2 lines. And your 2 lines can just look something like this. This line, maybe, and this line, something like this. So the equations that we're talking about today graph to be a line. Because remember, y equals mx plus b has an x and a y. That's your 2 variables. So now we're going to put 2 lines on the same set of axes. Recall, there's infinitely many points on this line, and there's infinitely many points on this line, but there's only 1 point that's on both where they cross. I'm going to make it kind of big. That's the answer, and that's what we're looking to find, the coordinate of that point right there. So this system has 1 solution. It's the point where they cross, right there. And we say, if it asks you to classify stuff, which it might ask you to classify, it's consistent and independent. I think I won't ask you this on a test, but they're going to ask you that in homework. But this system is consistent and independent. So when we solve systems, about 90% of the time, this is what happens. They have a common solution. It could occur anywhere in any quadrant. It could occur the coordinate where they cross. Okay, so that's what we're looking for most of the time. But every once in a while, when you put 2 lines on the same set of axes, they look like this. In other words, they're parallel. So if the solution is the point that's common to both, and these 2 lines are parallel, meaning they never touch each other, do you see there's no solution? No solution. So once in a while, the lines are going to be parallel, and therefore, no solution. And we say that's inconsistent. The math word for that is inconsistent. That system is inconsistent. So that happens once in a while. Kind of a weird special case. And the third thing that can happen when you graph your lines on the same set of axes is that you graph the first line, there it is, and you graph the second line, and it happens to be the exact same line. So therefore, they're sitting on top of each other as two lines on top of each other. And if the solution is any point they have in common, how many points do these guys have in common? A lot. Infinitely many. All of them. And so, here's a solution. 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 They're all solutions. So this particular system has infinitely many solutions. And we would say, since it has a solution, we would say it's consistent. But this one is consistent dependent. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get through. So, most of the time we're in this stuff on the left, 90% of the time. Maybe 5% of the time you get a weird one like this, and another 5% a weird one like this. So if I gave you 10 systems to solve, 8 of them would have a solution, a point where they cross. One of them might be that weird special case, and the other one might be that weird special case. So we have to have these on our radar, just so that we know. Okay, so what does a system look like? Is everybody okay if I move this page off? Okay. So here's an example about what the system's going to look like. Like the piecewise function, it's going to generally start with a brace like that. And so I'm going to give to you your first system. There it is. Two equations with two unknowns. They look like lines, a form of a line that we're familiar with. And so the first thing I'm going to ask you, or the first thing we're going to ask you is something like this. Is the point 2, 3 a solution? So this is a yes or no question. And so how do you think you would tell if 2, 3 is the solution to that system? What would we do?
Because of the 2x and 3y. No.
Good plan, but that's making it much more difficult than it is. We don't need to move anything around. I'm giving you potential answer, like 2, 3. And so remember, this is the x coordinate and this is the y coordinate. So why don't we just plug it in and see if it's true? So I'm going to plug in 2, 3 into this first equation. So basically the question is this. Is 2 times 2 minus 3 actually equal to 1, and I'm putting a question mark on top of it at the moment because I'm not sure if that point is true or not. Well, let's see, you get 4 minus 3 is 1, so 4 minus 3 equals 1, so 1 equals 1. So it checked in the first line, do you agree? Like it checked. The left side equals the right side in the first line. So that point 2, 3 is definitely on that line. It's a solution to that line. But we're not done yet. Now what do you think you do? Plug it into the second line and make sure it checks in the second one. So is 5 times 2 minus 3 times 3 equal to 1? So 10 minus 9 equals 1. Oh, we get 1 equals 1 again, right? And so it was true in the second equation also when I plugged that point in. So we are not doing it. But literally, if I was to graph those two lines, they cross at the point 2, 3, because that's the solution. So if it's a yes for both, then your answer right here is yes. That's the final answer. Checking somebody's potential solution is easy. Finding 2, 3 is not easy. But just saying if 2, 3 is the answer is always kind of the first step. Okay, I'm going to give you another example. So that's your first example. Here's your second example of a system. I want you to realize that the variables are not always going to be x and y. Sometimes the variables, as long as there's two different variables in two equations, they can be whatever they are. This one happens to be A and B. Okay? If that's the scenario where you presented letters that are not X and Y, they get written alphabetical. So, because you have to know which one is which. So when I give you a potential answer, the coordinate would sort of be alphabetical. So I want to know the same question. Is 2, 3 a solution to that system? And so when I plug in, so remember 2 is going to be your A value, and 3 is going to be your B value. So when you plug it into the first one, you would get 2 plus 3 equals 7, right? But that's not true.
No.
So 5 does not equal 7, so that's a no. The minute one of them is a no, you stop. Because if it's not on the first line, it doesn't even matter if it's on the second line. So the correct answer to this would be no. So trying to give you sort of an illustration about what you're going to see and what the answer is going to look like. Is somebody a solution, yes or no?
Where did the 2 and 3 come from?
I made it up.
Okay.
I gave it to you. I made it up. I knew that point checked in that one and didn't check in this one, so like I made up the total thing. The system, the point you're checking, this system, the point you're checking, so that I'd have an illustration of both. And illustrating that what it looks like when it's yes, what it looks like when it's not an X and Y that's alphabetical, and what it looks like when you get a no answer. So that I've covered kind of all my bases on that. Okay, everyone sound okay about that? Okay. Well, you're not going to spend much time, but maybe a question or two, checking somebody else's, the book's potential solutions. Your job's going to be to find a solution. Like solve the following system. So there are 4 ways to solve that you're going to become masters of. So there's 4 ways to solve these systems. And we're going to go through 3 out of the 4 today. So one of them is graphing. That's why I gave y'all a piece of graph paper. I could put them down on the same set of axes and see where they cross. So graphing. We'll practice a couple of those. The second method we're going to learn is called the substitution method. The third way is called the elimination method. And if you took Algebra 1 and or Algebra 2 in high school, you have done all of this before in your past, because it's pretty common Algebra 1, Algebra 2 type stuff to do. What we're not doing today, which we'll focus on in a couple days from now, is using a matrix. So those are the 4 like general categories. You will naturally like some more than others. Like if you're good at graphing, you like that, and you'll like one of these better, and you don't like this one. But you have to be able to do all of them, because we're going to tell you, solve the following by substitution. Solve this one, you have to demonstrate you can do all 4, and then you can solve it whatever method you prefer. Regardless of which way you do it, each would give the same answer. So they'd all give the same answer because it's only one solution if there's a solution. So that's kind of where we're heading in the next 5 days. 4 days is going through sort of all of these and being able to solve a bunch of different systems a bunch of different ways. So my goal today is going to get through like 3 or 4 examples of easy, medium, hard. Sort of like this. So we're going to start with graphing. We're not going to spend a ton of time in graphing, but we're going to do a few. So, does everybody have graph paper? Shall I hand it out? Okay. So, we're going to start by method number 1. The directions will say solve by graphing. We're going to talk about what's good about this method, what's bad about this method, and, you know, as we go through some methods. And we're going to start with an easy one. And I'm actually literally classifying things as sort of easy, medium, hard, oddballs as we go through some examples today. So, here's the first one. Y equals negative x plus 5. Y equals x minus 1. And the directions say solve by graph. So you take out your graph paper and we're going to graph each of these lines on the same set of axes. So I'm just going to pick the upper left one. So these lines should be very easy for you to graph because they're already in form. Do you agree? That's what we said. They're in form. Y equals MX plus B form. So reminding you how you graph this one, you start at 5. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and put a dot. What's this guy's slope? Negative 1. So you would go down 1 over 1, down 1 over 1. So down 1 over 1, down 1 over 1. And I'm making sort of a bunch of dots. Just easier for me to graph it. And I talked to you a little bit yesterday saying it's pretty important you can graph a line pretty swiftly at this point and accurately. Okay, so line number one is graphed. What do we do for line number two? Where do we start?
-1.
At -1, the y-intercept. And this guy's slope is +1, which means go up 1 over 1, up 1 over 1, up 1 over 1. And I make a lot of dots because oftentimes you end up at that common dot when you do it that way. So you have now graphed your first system. The graph is not the solution. The graph gives me the solution. So what's the coordinate of the point where they cross? Or what is the solution?
3, 2.
Done. That's the solution. If you want to check to make sure you did it right, you plug it in, like -3 + 5 is 2, and check. 3 - 1 is 2, it checks. So that's the point that's common to both. There's lots of points on this line. There's lots of points on this line. There's lots of points on neither line, but that's the only one that's the common solution to both. And you just found it by visually looking at it. Okay, so there's your easy one, the first one to start. So off to the right of this, I'm just going to put the solution, like was 3, 2, so you can remember. Okay, let's go to sort of a medium level one of difficulty. Y equals -1/4x + 1. 2y equals x minus 4. All right. So why do you think I'm saying this one's a little bit harder than the first one? Am I bothered by a fractional slope? No, not too much. Am I bothered by this one? Yes, not quite in form yet because that's 2y. So I've got to put it in form and I have to remember how to do that. So I've got to divide all three terms by 2 and I'm going to write it over here, like write the correct in form line over to the right. Because I want it in y equals mx plus b form. So kind of divide by 2, divide by 2, divide by 2. And so the new and improved line that I'm going to graph is going to be y equals, I'm going to rewrite this x over 2 as like 1/2x, because there's a 1 right here. So x over 2 is 1/2x minus 2. Now we are exactly where we were a minute ago, with two lines in form. So pick a new graph grid and graph one. See how quickly you can accurately you can get those two lines graphed on the same graph grid. So you start at the y-intercept, and then you use the slope to get a second point. So the first line started at 1, and then I went down 1 over 4. I only have enough room to get sort of one point on there, so there's the down 1 over 4. And then I graphed line number 2, starting with his y-intercept at negative 2, and went up 1 over 2, and I had enough room to do it again, so I did it again. Up 1 over 2, and there's the point where they crossed. Do y'all see it? What is the coordinate of that point? Is it 4, 0 or 0, 4? 4, 0. Because the solution to that system is 4, 0. So the solution could occur on an axis, just showing you that. Do you see how if you struggle graphing a line, it's going to be really intensified in this section because you're not going to get these graphing ones correct? Okay, so this one's solution was 4, 0. We're going to go to the next one now. I'm going to call this one a harder one. All right. So 3x plus y equals 5. X minus 2y equals 4. So why do you think I'm calling this the harder of the three examples? Yeah, because neither line is informed to graph it right off the bat. So I need to move them both into y equals mx plus b form before I can graph them. So I'm just focusing on the first one for a minute. To move that one into form, I would subtract 3x from both sides. So when you subtract 3x from both sides, you get y equals negative 3x plus 5. So that wasn't too bad. I'm not saying it's hard. I'm just saying it was harder than the first one because you have to do a little bit of work before you graph them. This one, I also have to move into form. So I'll show the steps on that. I have to subtract x from both sides. So now I'm looking at negative 2y equals negative x plus 4. And that one's still not in form yet because of that negative 2y sitting right there. So I have to divide all three parts by negative 2. So this line was the most out of form one that you were presented today so far. So the final line is y equals, what about that double negative sitting there?
Positive,
and it becomes positive 1 half, so 1 half x. And 4 divided by negative 2 is also negative 2. So by weird coincidence, it's the same line as that one was. That's just a fluke. Now that we have them informed, go ahead and put them on the same graph grid. So pick a new one. Slope of negative 3 means down 3, right 1. Down 3, right 1. Okay, let's see, the other one starts at negative 2, goes up 1 over 2. I've already got the solution. All right, they cross right here. The coordinate right there is 2, negative 1. So this guy's solution is 2, negative 1, and you did it. So I presented you three pretty typical solve by graphing problems. Whenever you're solving by graphing, you're kind of limited. It needs to cross inside a graph grid, and it almost needs to cross at like tick marks, integer solutions, or you won't be able to get it. So most solve by graphing are very simple coordinates, negative 2, 3, 3, negative 1, because it's not going to cross like something that you have to guesstimate. It's got to cross at a nice point or else you're kind of stuck on doing it. Okay, so I'm going to put this down. Let's look at this one. So next we'll look at sort of an odd one. I'm telling you ahead of time it's odd, but 6x minus 2y equals 2. 9x minus 3y equals 1. So you don't know from looking at it that anything's up whatsoever, because you can't tell just from looking at it like that. But what I'd like to do is move them both into form, like move them into slope intercept form, y equals mx plus b. So it's going to take me a couple steps on this one. So
negative 2y equals negative 6x plus 2, because I moved the x term over first, and then dividing everybody through by negative 2, you would get y equals 3x minus 1.
I'm hoping that now you see why solving for y is so important, like at week one when I talked about it, because we do it so often in here that you have to be able to move the line into form. So there's the first line. I'm going to do the same thing for the second line.
So negative 3y equals negative 9x plus 1. Dividing everybody through by negative 3, you would get y equals 3x minus 1/3.
Move the 9x over by subtracting it, and then I divided everybody through by negative 3, and I got this right here. So before we go any further, what do you notice about those two lines?
I do not like that fraction intercept.
Okay, first off, we don't like that fraction intercept because that's going to be kind of awkward to try to start at negative 1/3, right? But don't look at the intercept, look at the other part of it.
They have the same slope.
They have the same slope, right? They both have a slope of 3. And what did Dave teach you about two lines that have the same slope?
Parallel.
They're parallel lines.
No solution.
So there's no solution. So because these have the same slope, right here, both have m equal to 3, they're parallel. And therefore the answer is no solution, because they run parallel. So that was kind of an oddball, do you agree? So we had to recognize that right from the get-go, that they had the same slope. So we're always kind of have that in the back of our radar when we're solving by graphing, if they end up with the same slope. Okay, let's do the last one of graphing, and then we're going to leave that technique. So here's the system, y equals 3 minus x, and here's the other, 2x plus 2y equals 6. So, still says solve by graphing, basically. So, what I don't like about the first one is the x and the 3 are kind of in swappy positions, so I'm going to reorder it the way we like it. So, y equals negative x plus 3. We kind of like mx plus b form in here, so that's looking pretty good. That's swappy. This one is our standard two steps to get it in the right form.
So I'm going to subtract 2 from both sides. So that's going to give me 2y equals negative 2x plus 6. I don't like that 2y, so I have to divide all three parts by 2. So divide by 2, divide by 2, divide by 2.
And lo and behold, not only do they have the same slope, but they're identical. You never would have thought about that looking at them right here. If you moved them around and put them in the form, they would be the same line, but they are the same line. So that was kind of our weird special case number 3, where it has infinitely many solutions. So these are the same line, and there are infinitely many solutions, but that is not the way we're going to state the answer in here. There's a very specific way that college algebra students give the answer for this. You okay, set of x, y? Okay. So we need something that's going to differentiate all these points that are on the line, these guys, all the infinitely many solutions, from all these guys that aren't on the line, right? Because there's infinitely many solutions, but what are they? So the answer looks like this. It starts with a brace, starts with a set of, and then all xy pairs. So this is kind of 100% of the time it's going to start like this. And then there's a straight up and down line like this that's read such that. So your answer for infinitely many solutions is always going to start like this. The set of all xy pairs such that. Okay. And then all you have to do is pick one version of the line that you like the best. Because they're all the same line. So you could pick that, you could pick that, or you could pick that. I'm just going to pick that one. I went to the work to move it into form. It's all the xy pairs such that y equals negative x plus 3, and then you close it with a brace. So this part that I'm underlining or circling in red is going to change for every given problem. It's just the equation of the line for that particular problem. The part that's in purple is the same for everybody. It always starts like that. And all that does is it generates the recipe for all the points that are on the line versus everybody not on the line. So it's a very fancy formal way to give that anti-May solution answer. Typically in elementary algebra, we let you write this. And then if you took intermediate algebra, you transition to write it this way. And then in college algebra, you write it that way from now on. So that is your approximately 12-minute lesson on how to solve a system by graphing. We started easy, medium, hard, and the two oddball ones. The limitations are it has to cross in a very narrow grid, right? No one has graph paper walking around. If you're not on graph paper, it's next to impossible. Because the minute you don't tick evenly on your like notebook paper, it doesn't cross at a point that's easy to see. So you almost always need graph paper to do it, and it needs to cross in that little window, negative 6 to 6. So you might see one of those on Friday. You'll see one of them next Wednesday. You'll see one of them on the test. Solve by graphing, because it's not a very efficient way to do things. Okay, so done with graphing. We're moving on to method number 2. So if you recall, method number 2 is called the substitution method. So solve by substitution is what the directions would say. So there's no graphing involved in this at all. So once again, we're going to start with the easy one. So here's your first system to solve by the substitution method. It's algebraic, so meaning we never see a picture. There's no graph paper, there's no nothing. We're going to solve it using algebra, not like visually looking at a picture. Okay, so the first thing I want you to notice is, do you see that down here we have y equals blah? Like we've got one y equaling blah right there. That's what we like. One variable is isolated at the moment. That y right there is isolated because everything else is to the right. So what you're going to do is, and I'm even going to circle it, if y is equivalent to that expression right there in that circle, I'm going to substitute for y right there and replace it with 3 minus 2x. So this y equals this, that y must also equal that. So I'm going to sub it in. So that's the substitution technique. So what's going to come down? 3x, that plus sign comes down. I'm subbing in 3 minus 2x everywhere I saw y, and then I'm going to set that equal to 5. Everyone okay with that part? That's the first step of substitution. Plug one equation into the other equation everywhere you see that isolated variable. And now the net result is you can figure out what x is. You already know how to like solve that, so solve it. So let's see. I'm going to gather like terms, so 3x minus 2x is x, so now I have x plus 3 equals 5. And then subtracting 3, subtracting 3, I solved it and got x equals 2.
Yep.
So remember my answer to a system is an ordered pair. And I just figured out that the x coordinate was 2. So when it says solve, my answer is this ordered pair up here that I've kind of set up. So x equals 2. We still have to figure out what the y-coordinate is, so we're going to use the substitution idea yet again. In other words, I'm going to rewrite this equation right here where it says y equals 3 minus 2x. And I'm going to sub in my value that I now know x is 2. So y equals 3 minus 2 times 2. So therefore, y equals 3 minus 4. So y equals negative 1. So my y-coordinate is negative 1. And you solved it by the substitution technique. Okay, so far? All right, so here's where it gets a little tricky. And I'm speaking to several people in the room at the moment. Many of you make a mistake in this part right here. You might write positive 1, but you might key in like 3 minus negative 4 and write 7. You get like the wrong answer right here. It's just kind of a common thing I'm noticing in here. And so your answer is going to be wrong, right? There's a checks and balance system by which you can double check that, your solution right there. Because I got this y coordinate off of this second equation right here, plug your answer back into the first equation and make sure it works. That will catch any arithmetic right here. So what I mean is, and I'm going to rewrite it, is 3 times 2 plus negative 1 actually equal to 5. So 6 plus negative 1 is 5, right? 6 plus negative 1 equals 5, and therefore you've checked. And now you know your answer is right, and you never have to go back and revisit that problem again because you have the solution. A lot of people really like this section because of the ability to check your answer and know if you're right or wrong before you move on. Because that is literally the only pair that solves both of them at the simultaneously, because that's the solution. And so you're just done and you move on. Okay, so there's your first example of solving by substitution. Sort of an easy one. Let's go to another one. Not necessarily any harder, just showing you a different example. X plus y equals 4. X equals y plus 1. We are once again solving by substitution. So the first thing that you need to look at is any variable isolated on the left? In this case, the x is, right? By isolated, I mean it has a 1 in front of it, a ghost 1, and nothing else with it. So I'm showing you this one to show that sometimes you sub in x and sometimes you sub in y. Just depends on the problem. So in this one, this x right here is isolated. Do you agree? So I'm going to circle this y plus 1. And then everywhere I see an x in the first equation, I'm going to replace it with a y plus 1. So I don't need it. Like, which variable you sub in just depends on what you're presenting. So now you would end up with y plus 1. Don't forget to bring down that plus y right there. Equals 4. And so now your whole equation is in terms of y, so you can sort out what y equals. So 2y plus 1 equals 4. Y equals 3. Oh, I know why I call this one a medium now. Because sometimes you get fractions. And that does not mean you're wrong. It just means you're not graphing it that way. It's just you're solving it algebraically. You get a fractional answer right there. Okay, so our answer is a coordinate. So be super careful, because which variable did you just solve for in this one?
One.
The y. So the y has to go in the y position right here. The 3 halves is a y coordinate. So the y half of the coordinate is 3 halves. I still need to figure out what x pairs with it. So I can sub in that y value to this one, or I can sub in that y value to this one. But Joan, it's going to be easier to go into this one. So the x coordinate is going to be equal. So I'm going to write, so x is equal to 3 halves plus 1. And you could take your calculator and remind yourself how to remember that in your calculator if you need to. But 3 halves plus 1 as an improper fraction is in fact 5 halves. And then if you want to check it, you would just plug it in back in the first. Since we got that 3 halves plus 1 off of the second equation, I want to make sure to check my coordinates in the first equation. So the quick like checks and balance system here says to check it, I plug in 5 halves plus 3 halves and make sure that verifies out to be 1, which it does. If you see that in your calculator and enter, it's going to say 1. So sort of a very formulaic pattern what we're doing. We're isolating a variable, we're plugging it into an equation, we're getting half the coordinate, then we're subbing that half into the other one to get the other half, and then we're checking our answer, make sure it works. That would have been almost impossible to get by graphing, because it's hard to estimate coordinates like that when you're graphing, but algebraically you can get anything, fractions, decimals, whatever you get.
Equals 1 or equals 4? 4.
Oh, yeah, 4. Thanks. I don't know why I said that. Good. I was in the process of writing, and then I thought about something. Okay. Is everybody okay with that second example? Okay. So let's build on to that a little bit. We're still solving by substitution. I'll call this one a harder one. 5x plus 6y equals 14. X minus 3y equals 7. Okay. We're in substitution world, so we're trying to solve this by substitution. This is the first one that I've presented to you that nobody's isolated. Like, I don't have x equals blah, and I don't have y equals blah. But you must have that in order to do this technique. So of these four variables on the left, it doesn't always come from the bottom row. It just happens in the examples I've done, it's coming off the bottom row. But of these four variables, do you see that one of them already has a 1 in front of it? It goes, but there's a 1 in front of it. This x right here. Isolate him. So in other words, what would you do to that negative 3y? Plus 3y. You're not used to moving the y over, but in substitution world we have to, because we want to get that x by itself. So you want to look for the one that's got a natural 1 in front of it, because he's going to be the easiest one to isolate. And I'm going to add 3y to both sides. And so you would end up literally over here saying that x is equivalent to 7 plus 3y. It doesn't really matter the order, as long as you have, like, you could have put 3y plus 7, but I just have 7 plus 3y. So it wasn't given to you isolated. That's why I'm calling it a hard one. But now that you have it, the technique's kind of the same. I'm going to circle that 7 plus 3y. And everywhere I see an x in equation number 1, I'm going to substitute it in right there. It's also a hard one because there's a lot more going on. There's a 5 in front of it. So when you're subbing in this quantity that I've circled, and it's got more than one part, you must open up a parenthesis. So 5, open parenthesis, 7 plus 3y, close parenthesis. Don't forget to bring down the original plus 6y and set it equal to 14. So there's sort of a lot going, it's a little bit harder to solve this than the first couple I put up. So now you're distributing. And you're solving. All the techniques we learned earlier in the course, we're still trying to figure out what y is. Raise your hand if you got negative 1 for y. Great. That's exactly right. Negative 1 for the y coordinate. So up here, negative 1 is my y coordinate, so just keeping track. And don't forget to go back and figure out what the x part that pairs with it from. And I'm going to do this part right here. So x, therefore, so the x is equal to 7 plus 3 times negative 1, which is 7 plus negative 3, which is 4. See again? So I got my solution, my potential solution to be 4, negative 1. Since I got 4, negative 1 off the second equation, my checks and balance says, hey, plug it in the first one and just make sure it's right. Because a really common mistake would occur right here, where you just bring down 1 instead of negative 1. So the minute this y coordinate, you write down 1 instead of negative 1. Not only is the y coordinate wrong, but your x coordinate is going to be wrong. And that solution won't check. Actually, it won't check in either one. But don't put a solution that doesn't check on the blank. I'd rather you leave it blank than put something that doesn't check, because that would just say that you're lazy and didn't check your answer. I could visually just check it. Like, it's 5 times 4 is 20. 6 times negative 1 is negative 6. And 20 plus negative 6 is 14. So it checks. You don't have to necessarily write it, but I would. On a test or quiz, I would. But when you're doing it, a lot of times I just like kind of visually check it and make sure it works. Raise your hand if you've done this before. Like now you remember, oh, I did this in high school in Algebra 1. Substitution method. A few people's hands are going up. Half the class is going up. Good. Okay, so let's take a look at this one. So do you see why I called that a harder one? Just because it took a lot. Look how much more paper and steps it took. I had to isolate the variable at the beginning. There was some distributive property that went on. But it's all in your realm. You can do it all. It just takes a little bit more steps. So solve this one. 2x minus 3 equals y. Y minus 2x equals 1. All right. So when you're solving by substitution, the first thing you want to do is look at your equations and see if you have a variable isolated in any of them. Do you see that I have it right here? It's on the right-hand side, but I've got like y equals all that stuff right there. So I don't have to move anybody around, per se. I can substitute the first one into the second one. That's what I'm going to do. So if y is equivalent to this, I can go take that and plug it into my second equation everywhere I see a y. So the first three, I was always going like second into first, but this one's going first into second because that's the one that happens to be isolated. So you have to just play by whichever, hear which one looks good. All right, so what's left when I do that? You have 2x minus 3 minus 2x equals 1. Okay. Well, all of a sudden, the 2x's cancel, right? And you're left with negative 3 equals 1, which is true or not true? Not true. So what is our conclusion when all the variables drop away and you're left with something false? No solution. In no solution, you're just allowed to say no solution. Those two lines would be parallel. If I was to graph them, they'd be parallel lines. This is the algebraic interpretation of parallel lines. You're never comparing the slopes. Just all the variables drop away and you're left with something false right here. And so no solution. So that's one of your oddballs. And let's take a look at this one. So 2x minus... Oh, that's not that one. No, this is that one. A minus 2b equals 3 is the first one. And 3a equals 6b plus 9 is my second equation. Okay. At first glance, nobody's isolated because I don't have a equals blah or b equals blah, right? So you've got to pick which of these four variables you're going to attempt to get by itself to isolate. Which ones? A on the top, because there's a 1 in front of it. Okay, so I'm going to isolate that A by adding 2B to both sides. So plus 2B plus 2B. So A is equivalent to 3 plus 2B per. Okay, so now everywhere I see an A in equation number 2, I'm going to replace it with what it's equivalent to. You always plug into the equation that you didn't isolate from. So if you isolate from number 1, you plug into number 2. If you isolate in number 2, you plug into number 1. I'm trying to just give you a mismatch at each. So sometimes we're going 1 into 2, sometimes we're going 2 into 1. Don't forget it's got 3 in front of it. So 3, open parenthesis, 3 plus 2b equals 6b plus 9. When you distribute, you get this. So, they're identical, right? The left side is equal to the right side. If I subtract the 6b's, I would have 9 equals 9. Or 0 equals 0. All three of them, the left side equals the right side. So, if you just kind of forget what you're doing, you're just like, oh, I'm just going to keep subtracting, you end up with like 9 equals 9.
the variables dropped away, but this is true.
This is the one that's got inflamed matrices. Remember, but we don't say it that way anymore. So we're going to give this, so in your mind, it's got its inflamed solutions, but we're going to start it like this. The set of all, our coordinates are not X, Y in this case. What are they?
A,
B. So the set of all A, Bs, such that, and then you can pick any of the versions of the line that you want. We had three different versions of the lines as we were moving stuff around. So you can use the original number one, you can use the original number two, or you can use the one that we created. Any of those three would be correct because they're all the same line. So I'm just going to use the one that we created.
So A plus A equals 3 plus 2B, and then end it with a parenthesis.
So even in the substitution method, I gave you an easy, medium, hard, special case that has no solution, special case that has inflamed solutions. We did the exact same protocol in the graphing. So we did easy, medium, hard, no solution, inflamed solution. That's called the substitution technique. And we're going to review the third one also today, which is the elimination technique. I know it's a very lot to learn in one day. Especially if you've not seen them before. If you've seen them before and you're just reviewing them, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. But if you've not seen them, it's a little tricky. But you've got really good examples in your notes of like each type to go back and look at how to solve it.
So we've got about a half hour to do the third one. Okay, you good? Give me that piece of paper.
Just one.
So, solved by the elimination method. And once again, I'm kind of sorry. I think you can do graphing and sub in one day, and I'd like to, if you could go home and just digest that before we get to like a third method, because I don't want them all confusing, but they're all in one day in this class, so we have to go for it.
Okay, so elimination method is yet another algebraic one. So you don't see a picture of it. You're just solving algebraic.
So, for example, we'll start with sort of an easy one again of how to do this technique. Right. So here's another system, two equations, two unknowns. We're not backing it. We're not doing it by substitution. We're doing it by elimination.
So elimination says that I am allowed to add these two equations together.
So watch what. So I'm just going to rewrite them down here so you can see what happens. And I'm lining them up underneath each other. So x's are underneath each other, y's are underneath each other, equal to sign the numbers.
If I add these two equations together, what happens to the x's? They cancel or eliminate. That's why I call them each other opposite, so they eliminate. So down comes, let's see, 3y plus 4y is 7y, and 7 plus 7 is 14. Because the x is eliminated, I can now solve the y. So dividing both sides by 7,
I get that y equals 2. Everybody okay with the idea? So I just figured out the y coordinate is the number 2.
Seems kind of easy, right? Why do all the other stuff when this one's quite easy? I still got to figure out what x pairs with it. And so I can go to whichever equation looks easier to me to figure out what x is. I'm going to go to the top one because I don't want to deal with that negative x part right here.
So I'm going to go to the top one. So I'm going to write, so x plus 3 times, I now know that y is 2, so I'm going to sub in 2, equals 7. X plus 6 equals 7. X equals 1. So I think the solution is 1, 2. That's my claim.
My checks and balance nature says, if I got the 1 off the top equation, I better plug my solution into the second one just to make sure it works. So here's sort of my check. Since I got the 1 off equation number 1, I'm going to plug it into equation number 2.
So negative 1 plus 4 times 2 equals 7. Negative 1 plus 8 equals 7. It's true.
It checks. So I'm done with that problem. I know that's the correct answer. Right? There's ample many points out there in the world. And there's ample many points on both lines. But that's the only point that's on both. Because that's the solution. That's where they cross. And you solved it by the elimination technique. Okay. Well, very rarely is the system going to be presented to you with that natural pair of opposites sitting right there. So that's where we're heading to. Let's look at the medium level problem. So we're still solving by elimination. So here's your next example. 5x plus 4y equals 22. Negative 3x plus 8y equals 18. And I'm calling this sort of a medium level problem. Okay. So, question number one. Do I have a natural pair of opposites anywhere? Like, this is 5, this is negative 3, so they're not opposites. This is 4, this is 8, they're not opposites. So I must create a pair of opposites by using the idea that I can multiply a row by whatever number I want. I would like us all to agree as a class that we're going to create a natural pair of opposites right here. So if this is positive 8, what would this need to be? To be the opposite of 8 is
negative.
So what could you multiply this whole row by for that number to become negative 8?
Negative 2.
So it looks like this.
I can put parentheses around this, and I can put a negative 2 out in front,
and I can multiply that whole row across by negative 2. When I do that, I'm going to rewrite it down here. So negative 2 times 5x is negative 10x. Negative 2 times positive 4y is negative 8y. That was my goal to create that right there. Don't forget to multiply the right-hand side also, or else it changes it. So negative 2 times 22 is negative 44. And then bring down the original second row and write it underneath it. So I have a new row 1 that I created, but row 2 is the original row 2. Draw a line underneath it. And add them together. So negative 10 plus negative 3 is negative 13x. What happened to the y's? They eliminated. That's why it's called the elimination technique. They are now gone. And I don't know what negative 44 plus 18 is. Negative 26. And divide both sides by negative 13. And I now solved and figured out that x equals 2. So I got the x coordinate first on this time. Do you see how sometimes we get the x guy first and sometimes we get the y half first? It just depends on what you're given. We're very fluid on which one comes first. It depends on what you're given. All right, take a minute and go figure out the y coordinate. So pick whichever equation looks nicest to you to plug that 2 into for x and figure out what y is equal to. And if you got 3, you should feel free to buy some. Because I got 3. I plugged it in the first one, the original first one. But you should get the exact same value of 3 if you plug it in the second one. Or even the one we created. Can you raise your hand if you got 3? That's it. Okay. That's called elimination. So an easy one is it's set to eliminate the way it's given to you. A medium level one means I might have to multiply a row by somebody. So now we're going to kick to sort of what the hardest, the worst case scenario you might see is going to be this one that we're going to do. And it's not bad. It's just, you just have to know what to do. Okay. So solve by elimination. 2x plus 3y equals 17. 5x plus 7y equals 29. Do we have a natural pair of opposites?
No.
No. Not even this one. We must decide, we're going to use elimination. So the class, we're going to decide right now which variable we're going to eliminate, and I'm going to tell you we're going to eliminate the x. So we're going to eliminate the x variable, the one in front. So what's the smallest number that 2 and 5 both go into?
10.
So if we can get one of them to be a positive 10, and the other one to be a negative 10, they would be a pair of opposites. Do you agree?
Yes.
I can multiply a row by whatever I want as long as I do it all the way across. So I'm starting kind of like that. And I'm going to make the top row be positive 10. So what number do I need to multiply everybody by?
5.
I'm going to make the bottom row be negative 10. So what number do I need to multiply everybody by? Negative 2. So in the hardest case scenario, you must multiply both rows by somebody. Okay, so there I've decided what I'm going to do, and now I'm going to execute it down here. So 5 times 2 is 10x. 5 times 3y is 15y. And I don't know what 17 times 5 is.
85.
And then negative 10x minus 14y equals negative 29 times 2, which is 58. Let me track my signs and everything. I kind of have that system right there. Everybody okay with that? If you fail to distribute to the guys on the right, it's wrong. Like, nothing fixes at that point, so I just distribute every cross. Why did we do that once again? So that the x's do what?
Eliminate.
15y minus 14y is just y. 27 is what Raul is saying. Do you agree with his math?
Yes.
27? On a graph grid, it'd be really difficult to get such a big y. But algebraically, easy to get a big y. No big deal. Y is 27. So the y coordinate is 27. Go back and figure out what x pairs with it by plugging back into either of the original equations, the ones at the very beginning. I'm going to use the top one. I'm using the top one. So 2x, 3 times 27. I got negative 32. Does anyone agree with that?
Yes.
Let that sit for a minute so you can get caught up. I used the first equation to get the negative 32 from. So if I wanted to do a final check and I wasn't running out of time, I'd plug those numbers in the second one and make sure it works. So I'm constantly plugging my solution to both to make sure it works because you've only got one shot to get these right. So don't let that one get you. You're okay. 17 minus 81 is where the negative 64 came from. And negative 64 divided by 2 is negative 32. If you plug in the second one, you have different stuff here, but you still have negative 32 down here. Because that's the answer. Okay. So, ready? Practice that again. Now we're to the odd ones. Let me get through two more examples. 6a plus 9b equals 12. 4a plus 6b equals 5. And we're solving this once again by elimination. So, question should always go through your head. Do I have a natural pair of opposites? You do not, right? Nobody's opposites as they're sitting. A's aren't opposites, B's aren't opposites. So I must create a pair of opposites. If I'm in a situation, I always do the front one just because it's easiest for me to see the negative part. What's the smallest number that 6 and 4 both go into? Smallest number?
12.
So I want to create a 12 and a negative 12.
So what do I need to multiply the top row by? 2. And the bottom row by? Negative 3. Perfect.
By the way, I could have reversed those. And I could have chosen to eliminate the B's instead. There's more than one way to do it, but I can only show you literally like one out of the four different ways to do it. So I'm just showing the most common way that I would do it.
So 12A plus 18B equals 24 is the top one. Negative 12A minus 18B equals negative 15 is the bottom one.
So did your A's eliminate like you expected them to?
Yes,
you created that pair of opposites, so the A's eliminated. But inadvertently, what happened to the B's? They also eliminated. So on that left-hand side is the number 0, like 0. It's not 1B, it's not 1A. When opposites eliminate, there's a 0 sitting there. And on the right-hand side, yeah, she's already gone to the answer. She's saying it's no solution. Because all the variables dropped away and you're left with something false. So this is the elimination version of no solution. You meant to eliminate the A's, but the A's and the B's both eliminated, and you were left with 0 equals any other number except 0. Because if it was 0 equals 0, that's a different answer. But 0 equals 9 is false because they don't equal each other. In other words, those two lines are parallel. If I was to graph them. Remember, that's what it means when there's no solution of parallel lines. All right, so let's try one more.
8x plus 12y equals 16. 6x plus 9y equals 12. Solve by elimination.
So we get to practice one more time. There's not a natural pair, but as a class, we're going to eliminate the x variable. So what's the smallest number that 8 and 6 both go into? 24, right? 24.
So what would we need to multiply the top row by? 3. And the bottom row by? We want it to be negative 24. So negative 4 times 6 is negative 24.
So you have to have a negative in there to get the pair of opposites.
Ooh.
Totally contrived problem. So, did the X's eliminate?
Yes.
Did the Y's eliminate?
Yes.
So on the left-hand side, we have 0. And on the right-hand side, guess what we also have? 0, because they're a pair of opposites. So 0 equals 0 is a completely different conclusion. 0 equals 0 is the infinitely many solutions guy. So it's got that weird notation, the set of all XY's, such that, and I'm just going to pick the first line in this case, 8x plus 12y equals 16. It's all the points that reside on this line right here. And this is the recipe that generates all those points. That's why we're saying that. Differentiate these points from everybody not on the line. So I've tried to go through 5 problems from each type. Easy, medium, hard, the 2 special cases from graphing. Easy, medium, hard, 2 special cases from substitution method, and easy, medium, hard, 2 special cases from the elimination method, which should be plenty to get you going sort of on your homework. There's been no word problems, no nothing. This is all just, can you do the mechanics of the D3 techniques tonight for homework? And tomorrow's lecture will really depend that you can solve, we'll practice them again, but it'll be like, what word problem generates this system? And then we'll solve it. What type of word problem generates that system? And then we'll solve it. By whichever method seems the appropriate way. So that's kind of where we're heading. Dave, there's about 10 minutes if you need to talk about homework.
Yeah.
good.
Or I'm happy to talk about homework since I've been talking about it all morning. Yes?
You no? want to talk about homework?
Sure. Just right. Give me somebody.
Well,
I have a problem.
Okay. Well. Okay,
go. Okay. So, can you ask what you were about to say? You were supposed to do these problems to practice, giving these, and like these guys on the front. I had a lot of people coming in and asking me, like, how do I do this problem so I don't get it? Because you're kind of looking for 2 points, because your mentality is I'm looking for 2 points. But I talked about that sometimes you're actually given the slope and you're given the y-intercept. So if you see the word initial, generally that's going to be your B. Initial means your starting value. So your B is 200 gallons. And when you see something that's got like the word per after, like gallons per minute, that's a rate. Gallons per minute is like a slope. It's a rate. So that's your M. So there was no computation to get all of that in the story. They were both given to you. It might, and there's lots of variations of that, but that's that. So therefore, she plugged it in, MX plus B. So 6X plus 200. We had to diagram this out a little bit. I'm just going to write on. Like, you're starting with a tank right here that holds 500 gallons. That's what it tells me in the next set. But it starts with 200 already in it. So it's starting at 200 gallons. Are you filling it or dumping it? You're filling it. You're pumping into it 6 gallons per minute, right? So it's kind of starting to fill up with 6 gallons per minute. And so this was a little tricky, like find the suitable domain. Like, what does that even mean?
A lot of people miss the domain.
Yeah. So, if the fuel tank has a 500, did they put the 500 on the right-hand side? Or they just skipped it?
No, a lot of people thought it was 0 to 500. Some people thought it was 200 to 500.
So, the domain is talking about how many minutes does it take to fill up the tank. Minutes. The domain is the X value. Because this thing takes in a minute. This formula that she's created right here, this function, and spits out a gallon. So when we're talking about the domain, we're talking about how many minutes is that function good for? Okay? It's going to start at 0, because it can't have negative minutes. So at 0 minutes, how many gallons are in the tank? 6 times 0 is 0, plus 200 is 200. So that's our starting point, and that's what we thought. But we need to figure out how many minutes it takes to fill up that tank to max capacity 500. So you sub in 500, you set it equal to 500 gallons. And if you subtract 200 and you divide by 6, you get 50. So in 50 minutes time, that tank is slowly rising up, 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 so it gets to right here. And then at 50 minutes, it's full, and it just starts overflowing at that point. It's just dumping out of it because it's full at 50 minutes. So the suitable domain would be from 0 to 50 minutes. Why do we not go beyond it? What happens at 50 minutes? It's full, and it's overflowing. So it doesn't make any sense to go beyond that. So it was you knowing to plug in 500 for the output to figure out how many minutes it takes to get to that output. Some people came in thinking 60 minutes or 500 right here, like as if it was a minute. But 500 is a gallon, so it needs to go in the output position, the gallon position. And we get it's hard. We get when you've not seen these before, it's a little bit tricky. But trying to learn from each one is sort of the important part about that. You had another sort of weird one. How'd they do on this page?
Really well. The only problem there was sometimes the units. So you just say...
Oh, here. Yeah. Did people just put 50?
Well, obviously, this is Cindy. So obviously, she did everything right on this page. And most people got the computations right. There were a couple of people who, over what time period did the amount of water in the pool remain constant? Well, you look at the graph, between 0 and 1 and 3 to 4, and I would use interval notation. Some people said it in words, which is fine. I gave you full credit if you said it correctly in words. There were two or three people who said, on day one and day three, now you got to be careful here, because on day one, I guess that's from zero to one, but then day three, okay, that would be three to four. So I'd rather you see do it in interval notation rather than, you know, day one or day three.
Did anybody just write 50 instead of 50,000?
Yes, there were people who did that.
This is pretty important that the tank, that unit right there is important.
Yeah, now it was a little ambiguous. F of 2 is equal to what? Well, 45 according to the graph, but when you interpret it, and I counted either one.
Okay.
45,000 gallons was correct, or 45 was correct. But if you said 45 gallons, that wouldn't be correct. And nobody did that, I don't think. But so 45,000 gallons. Now, there were a few people here that decreased by 5,000 gallons per day. That's correct. But some people said decrease by 5 gallons per day. That
even
doesn't make any
sense.
Even
the float has the unit thousands on it, because the Y coordinate unit has the thousands on it. There's a big, huge difference between going down 5 gallons a day and 5,000 gallons a day for a big pool. So you have to pay attention to your units.
Right. And if you didn't, it's because you're, it says include units. If you didn't include the units, you can't get away with it. Some people said minus five, but it, what, minus five what? Minus 5,000 gallons.
Yeah.
and it's a rate, so it has to be per day. So she said per day, and that's correct. But if you just said decreasing 5,000 gallons, that would not be correct, because that's not the correct rate. You need both units there to make that correct.
Like per minute, per hour, per month?
And then so most people did the graph correctly and recognized that it was not continuous, but not everybody got it correct. So the biggest mistake actually was the horizontal line, and most people got the slanted lines correct, but the horizontal line for some reason.
And she even wrote the negative 2 here. It's not negative 2 x. It's not negative 2 times that. There's no variable there. So it can only spit out a negative 2 no matter what. It's a constant function. The y coordinate for the horizontal piece is always just negative 2. You treat it as if it said negative 2 x right here.
And we're not just picking on Cindy.
No, I'm kidding.
There were, like I say, there were several people who did that. And also, even the people who had the correct graph.
2 minus 7 is negative 5. And you have positive 5. That's why that line is going the wrong direction. It should go from here down here.
And there were a few people that said yes, even when you had the correct graph. Remember, it's continuous if you can draw the thing without lifting your pencil. But if you, because of the gap, and really there would only be one gap in the correct answer, because of that gap, you'd have to lift your pencil up and then move it over and then put it down. And that would be a discontinuity.
Excellent.
So that's all. I'll hand them back.
Thank
now.
You. Appreciate that. All right. So where's your homework coming from?
Marichat.
I didn't pull it out. Well, yeah, I didn't pull it out to show it to you. I don't even know how many pages it is. But you probably have to do some graphing, some substitution, some elimination. Be aware of the special cases. Give it a go.
Two.
One of two. There is graphing, substitution, elimination, and then you got your pick. Player's choice.
Can I take a picture of your last substitution
example? Yeah. They're all out of order. Do you know what the problem was like?
Yeah.
Can I see your notes real quick?
Can you take a picture of that?
Yeah. It helps me see where my
sister is.
Yeah.
She's also colorblind, by the way.
That's why you get 100
lines. Very funny, though.
That'd be weird, huh?
That system wouldn't do me much good if that were
true. No, it would not.